Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Wash me in your cleansing glory. Now all I know, your forgiveness and grace. Worthy is the Lamb. We
Hallelujah. First of all, my life, I'm just going to tell you this. My life never began in a suit. You need to know that I was the worst of the worst of the worst. Amen?
Yeah.
And if God can change me, amen?
Yeah, yeah.
If God can change me,
yes,
who knows?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit moved between Pastor Brian and I, and it was awesome. It was awesome, awesome. And I consulted the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to speak on something that has been spoken of, that has been sung all morning. Amen?
Amen.
I bring you greetings from Pastor Burkett and the Apostolic Church in Walthamstow.
Amen.
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 I welcome the presence of everyone, ministers in the house, visitors, and of course the congregants, my wife. Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I can say amen. You don't have to say amen. I say amen.
You can.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we just thank you for this moment. Thank you for what you have done, your supremacy, the choice that you have made. Oh God, right now we just submit ourselves to you, and we say, let flesh be slain and let the Holy Spirit take over. Father, just allow me to be that conduit to which your word goes through in the name of Jesus. Let it touch the hearts that it's supposed to start. Touch, oh God. Let the souls arise this morning in the name of Jesus, because we serve a true and living God. Amen.
Amen.
Let all the saints say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. It's awesome standing before you this morning. I'm really, really nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I mean, let the Holy Spirit. You guys are like looking at me like you're ready to extract.
Yeah, we are. Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm changing my hat this morning because I'm going to teach. One of the things that we fail to do in the body of Christ is to teach. Everybody wants to preach. Yeah, I can stand up and give you a hook. Won't he do it? Ain't he all right? But not this morning. This morning, it's about teaching the word. Amen? And I'm just so glorified to see so many young people in the house today. And it's a challenge because I know, you know, you guys are going to research. You guys are going to research.
Yeah.
Research what I say. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Think about it, and we're going to come to it at the end. Who killed Jesus? I want you to think about it, but we're going to answer it at the end. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to begin reading a scripture, Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verses 34 to 39. The gospel according to Mark chapter 15, verses 34 to 39. And I will be referring to scripture as we go along. Amen? And I'm reading from the King James Version. And verse 34 says, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth for Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. 38. I'm going to stop there. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Who kill Jesus? And I'm going to begin by saying to you, Jesus had to die. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus had to die. And I'm going to set it up for you so that you can see and know and understand. Amen?
Amen.
There are the seven biggest controversies that exist today. And I'm going to tell you what they are. The seven biggest controversies that exist today. Number one, the birth of Jesus. His supernatural birth. Nobody can understand that. People wonder about it. There's so many skeptics. They have issues with that. Number two, the life of Jesus. His miracles yet cannot be understood by anyone, yet cannot be fathomed by them. How he responded to pressure. He talked about forgiveness. No one can understand that. Number three, his message. He preached love, not war. He speaks of a kingdom, but yet he never took the sword to take over the Roman Empire. Controversial, huh? Number four, his death. After his death, his message grew and it caused many problems. After he died, his message became more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right. Amen? Amen? The next is his burial. Some are still wondering, where is his grave? What happened to his body? The next is his resurrection. Did he rise from the dead? Is it possible that after his body began to rot, that he would rise up from that? Then there's some that says, perhaps his body was stolen. The disciples took his body. And the last is his promise. He promised that he will return. And the skeptics are wondering, is this possible? What's going to happen? And I give to you those seven biggest controversies right now. But let me set the whole thing up so that you understand what's going on. Death. I just want to talk about death for a brief moment. Death. Death, the curse of death. It is the rebellion of man. I remember when I looked at this passage and I was preparing for it, I used to think up to 2 days ago that death was from the devil, from Satan. But I want to prove to you that Satan had nothing to do with death. God created death. And if you read the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, God says to Adam, if this garden is for you, you could eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat it, what happened? You will die. God said that. I looked at it and I'm like, are you for real? Are you serious? There is no way in that chapter Satan existed. God said the minute that you eat of this tree, you will die. So I looked at it. Okay. God created death. But God created death dead.
Yeah.
You go on this side. God created death dead.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
I looked at it and I realized death had no power.
That's right. That's right.
Death had no power.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I went deeper. Death became active when Adam became rebellious.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
Now, I can understand. I got a few people working along with me. Now you would understand why Jesus kept saying that you have power over death.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Death without power. Man fell. So God says, you know what? I got to figure out now how I'm going to deal with this. Now, for another day, I will tell you that God gave man also in that chapter. God says, you know, he says, we will make man in our image and in our likeness. But the next verse, he says, we'll make man in our image and in our likeness. And the next verse, he says, I will give them dominion over the earth.
That's right.
Now, a spirit, first of all, let me tell you that you are not, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. Do you get it?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes. Yes.
You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. But in order for you to exist on the earth, God gave you dominion. What he did was he molded you from the ground, and then he breathed his spirit in you, and you became a living soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Your spirit could never die.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the earth belongs to you, man, human. It does not belong to any disembodied spirit. Satan. Always remember this scripture. What the enemy meant for bad, God used it for good.
Right.
Satan borrowed the body of the serpent.
Right.
So now he thought, okay, yeah, I get into, and I tricked the woman. The same woman that he tricked, God says, okay, fine. I'm going to use that same woman. And the seed of that woman is going to crush her head. Satan didn't even realize that. God is saying, not even God, has permission as a spirit to come on the earth. Think back when Jacob wrestled with the angel. Why is it that a supernatural being wrestled with Jacob on the earth and he couldn't overpower Jacob? Because he was in Jacob's domain. Disembodied spirits are not alone. This is why we can talk to spirits. We can cast them out. But you see, because you don't know the power that you have, they silence you. And it's time for us to wake
up.
I want to talk about death. I don't have a problem talking about death because it's dead.
Come on.
When you sin is when you activate death. But guess what? When death kills, it becomes dead. And it is abnormal for it to kill. That's another story. So here we go now. God wrapped himself in human flesh and he came as Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take it down a notch. What is death? What is death? There are three main factors of death. Number one, death is when the Holy Spirit leaves man. The second is the departure of man from the presence of God. And the third is the departure of man's spirit from his physical body. So here's this now. Do you realize that death is progressive? Now, I'm just going to tread in some deep theological water. Death is progressive because God said to Adam, the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And guess what? Adam ate the fruit. But what happened? Adam lived for 930 years. So it tells me that death is progressive. Adam was a living dead. He was a walking dead. And he had kids. You know, the scripture says that he reproduced after his own kind. So when you go to evangelize, and people says, well, I don't understand what is sin. What about the baby that's born? The Bible says that he reproduced after his own kind. So he fell. And because he fell, everyone that's born after Adam was born in sin. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
So this is what it means. So we're all born in sin because of the sin that was created in the garden, the rebelliousness of Adam. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Death is a product of sin. Man's sin. Death is a product of sin. Man's sin. So God says, in order to eradicate death, what do I have to do? Take sin out of the picture. So how do I do that? How do I do that? The ordinances to the Old Testament. Something has to die. When Adam fell, the first thing that God did was God killed an animal to cover Adam. See, when Adam fell, everybody says that Adam was intimate with Eve, and that's how he knew that he was naked. I tell you no, because before that happened, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply.
That's right.
How you could be fruitful and multiply is through that intimacy. That's the only how. So let's take that out. Eradicate that. Thank you, my sister. Eradicate that. So what happened? And I challenge you to think that when Adam fell, because of his rebelliousness, he then was separated from God. And because he was separated from God, God took his cloak of his covering off of Adam. And then he realized, you know what? I'm naked. I'm fully exposed. Here's another. The Bible takes care of itself. And if you read it, it's so sweet. I love the Bible. I crave for the Bible. I'm greedy when it comes to the Bible. Listen to what happened. When Adam fell, the first thing that he did when he realized he was naked, he did what? He went out and he took a fig tree. He took the leaves from a fig tree, pastor, and covered himself. Ain't no coincidence that later in the New Testament, Jesus came upon the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree. Think about it. Jesus cursed the fig tree because he said, no more are you going to cover anything that is wrong. It's right there. It's in the Bible. Oh my God. I love it. I love it. Woo. Hallelujah. Man had to die. Hey, listen, you do it, God says, you know what? You have to die. And I'm going to tell you why man had to die. I hope there are no tomatoes around, so anybody could be tossing tomatoes at me. Man had to die because God had to be faithful to his word. So the death of man is the faithfulness of God in action. People ask you, they say, oh, you serve a true and living God, a great God. Why he never stopped Adam? I'll tell you why God never stopped Adam. I'll give you a few reasons. God had to be, the first thing is God had to be holy. God is holy.
Amen.
It's holiness, righteousness.
That's right.
Number two, he is faithful. In Hebrews 8, it sets it up for you. He is faithful. He is true. He speaks it. We said God has supremacy. But I challenge you that God has sovereignty when he is silent.
Yes.
Work with me. When God is silent,
that's right,
he has sovereignty.
Yeah.
But the minute God speaks, he loses it to his word because he says, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of my word shall be diminished. So when God speaks, he has to be true to his word. So he says, you know what, Adam, you have to die. You're going to die. So God couldn't change his mind and say, you know what, I really feel sorry for you. You know what, let me just turn aside from that. And lay, no, something have to get licked down. Right? God must keep his word. Amen? The second is that, the fourth, God cannot lie. He just cannot lie. So he has to be true to his word. He says, the moment you eat that fruit, you're going to die. He can't lie. Because, you know, Adam could have come up and said, look, say you said this will never happen to me, and it never happened. I'm cool. I'm straight. He had to die. Then God had to fulfill his promise. And the last is that God cannot ignore his word. God cannot ignore his word. The best way that David, the psalmist, sets it up is in Psalm 138, verse 2. Make a note of that, and you read it in your time. He says, I will worship, I will bow down to your loving kindness, you know, your magnificence, because you're true to your word. David sets it up. Amen? So we all at that now, we realize, oh, hallelujah, we're going to tread in some dangerous territories. I'm going to give you 7 reasons why Jesus had to die before we're going to answer that question. Number one, Jesus had to die because of one substitution. Something had to die. So there had to be a substitute. And the substitute has to come with purity, with righteousness. The next is that the flesh, Jesus had to die because of the flesh. The spirit is at war with the flesh. Yes. Do you ever notice that sometimes your spirit says one, and the spirit wants you to do something, but your flesh is barking up another alley? This is why we say keep yourself prayed up and in fasting. I only realized lately what it meant when God says, he says, I will never give you more than you can bear. We walk around and we say that, but we don't understand it. He says, I will never give you more than you can bear. The problem is, here's where the problem is. The problem is that we spend so much time doing the wrong things that when we're supposed to do the right thing, we can't do it. Okay, like take for instance, I was evangelizing in Brixton one day, and this man came up to me. He says, two dogs are fighting, fear and faith. Which one is going to win? So I boldly said, faith. He said, no, you're wrong. It took me a whole night. I couldn't speak. I said, this man must be crazy. What is he talking about? His answer was, the one you feed the most is going to win. See, a lot of times we sit in church and say, faith, faith, faith. But you know what? We're messed up, locked up, tied up in some stuff. Now, faith ain't close to where we are.
That's right.
Amen? We got to keep it real.
Yeah.
Keep it real. I'm studying, I'm in the third year of my law degree. And it's another story, huh? But the funny thing is, you know, I pray a lot. And I ask the church to pray for me when exams come around. Nice, but I came across something one day that is astounding. My wife could tell you, I must have read it about 10 times. He says, the first thing you do is, one, you study hard, and then you pray and ask God. And what we do a lot of times is that we study less and we pray hard. Because God is going to show up, you know, and doing the work in church, God is going to show up and bless me. But then, you know what? God will bless you when you start doing the work. Amen? So this is what happened where you are. The second is that God needed blood. We sang the song, in nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals. All right? Spirit had no blood. Now, I'm really sorry. I'm not knocking on any other religion out there. But don't you realize that we are the only religion that serves the true and living God that actually produces Jesus that has blood?
Amen.
So if what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So if you are serving something else, what's going to wash away your sins? Come on. Sin had to be paid for. It had to be paid for. It had to be eradicated. The fifth is that he had to be resurrected. And you cannot resurrect something that is not dead.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
There's no way you could resurrect anything that is not dead. No matter how you try. No matter how super spiritual you are. If it's not dead, you can't resurrect it. I remember one time watching The Greatest Magician. That was when I was back in the world. Houdini. You know who fooled Houdini? He took a prison guard to fool Houdini. Guess how he fooled Houdini? Houdini could have opened every lock. And he went to the prison and put him behind and put him in Alcatraz. And he took a prison guard to fool him because he opened all the locks except the last one. He couldn't get it open. And then he became so tired, he sat down, leaned against the door, open. You know why he couldn't open it? The prison guard never locked the door. He never locked it. So how could you open something that's not locked? Amen? And number six, he had to justify us. the just shall live by faith. And number seven, he had to die to destroy the power of death. So dying for Jesus was necessary. Dying for Jesus was not necessary, but it was mandatory. Let me take that back. Dying for him was not necessary, but mandatory. So this brings me now to my subject. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews? The Romans? Was it the Gentiles? Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? Okay. Take your Bibles. I want you to take your Bibles. Don't listen to me. I want you to take your Bibles. And I want you to go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I'm not going to continue. For the next few minutes, I want you to grab your Bibles, because it's imperative that we go through this. It's not according to me. This is God's word. Scripture interprets scripture. Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at verse 4. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Who killed Jesus? Huh? Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? God did. It is in the scripture. Smitten by God and afflicted.
That's right.
Okay, let me break it down for you then. Do you remember when John was baptizing and he came walking along the way, and John said, behold, he said, look, behold, the Lamb of God.
That's right. The sacrificial lamb.
Exactly. In the Old Testament, everybody had their sacrificial lamb. Remember, Abraham said God would present himself a lamb to be sacrificed. That was God's sacrificial lamb. Amen? Don't read the Bible too fast. Take it slow. It's right there. The next question is, what killed Jesus? Was it the whip? Was it the nails? Was it the spear? You go down to verse 6, or verse 6 answers that question. Verse 6, he says, all we are like sheep gone astray, who have turned everyone to his own, and the Lord laid on him sin of us all. He says, and the Lord, capital L. So God laid the sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death.
That's right. Come on.
The wages of sin is death. So God laid sin. So he had to die.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Mm. What was his goal in his death? What was Jesus' goal in his death? Was he a martyr? Or was he a good prophet? And of course, this is answered in Isaiah 53:10. Oh, Isaiah. He sets it up for us. And the 10th verse, he says, yes, it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper his hands. He was no martyr. He was no good prophet. He had his blood us all.
That's right.
He died because his blood had to cover us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
It's written in the scriptures. What was the purpose of Jesus' death? And with that, we go to verse 11 and 12. After he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servants will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great and divide the spoils. I want to stop right there. He had to suffer so that we will see his light. So the purpose of his death is so that we can live.
That's right.
And we can live in him. You see, as of today, mm-hmm. with this knowledge, with this information, your life has to change.
Amen.
Your life has to change. We're not going to walk around moping because Jesus is dead. We're glad that he is dead. I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing.
Amen.
Because if he didn't die, last night in the service, the choir sang, he says, I never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I couldn't pay that. There is no way I could have paid that price. And in the 11th verse, he says, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. I'm glad that he is dead.
Amen.
I'm glad that he is dead because the scripture says that he will divide the spoils with the strong. Now, who is the strong? We are the strong. We are in the body of Christ. So he will divide the spoils with us. And what are the spoils? There are three keys that I want to give to you. And the three keys means authority. Key means authority. And the spoils are death, hell, and the grave. So if he divides death, hell, and the grave with me and you, death has no power.
Amen.
Pastor says, this morning he read the scripture. I said, the spirit is active because I never told him what I was going to speak about. And he spoke about it. He says, oh, death, where's your sting?
Amen. That's right.
Think about that. Oh, death, where is your sting? Because you have no power.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So then what was the crisis in Calvary? The crisis of Calvary, the death of Jesus, it was not a suicide. It was not a martyrdom. It was not a political affair. But Isaiah 53:12 says, For he bore the sins of many and make intercession for the transgressors. His death was for me, his death was for you, and if you know that his death is for you, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're coming close. I'm going to close just now with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you realize, before I go there, do you realize that in the very beginning, one of the scriptures I want you to read is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is where the first promise began. Because after man fell, that's when God began to curse. Because he says, you know what was interesting about that? He says to the serpent, because he says to the devil that was in the serpent, that the seed of the woman would crush your head when you bruise his heel. Okay. The seed of the woman would crush your head when you bruise his heel. Now, I know in some traditions, it's and even when Christ was sacrificed, all of the stuff that they show you, you know, he was sacrificed on an olive. The cross was made of olive tree. It was the anointing. It's all symbolic. When he was on the cross, his leg was not crossed. His leg was on both sides. And the nail went through the tendon at the back. In some countries, when a baby is born, they hold the baby by the ankle. If you cut this ankle, it's referred to as the cord of life. So it's no coincidence that he says that the enemy would bruise your heel, because it represents the cord of life coming through there. So the enemy will always be attacking your life. But he says when the enemy attacks your life, he is going to crush your head. So Jesus have already crushed the head of the enemy. But it's for you who tap into this and know that his head is crushed. Because he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes you are healed. By his stripes you are physically healed. By his stripes you are psychologically healed. By his stripes you are emotionally healed.
Amen.
Thank you, Bill.
We just recite scriptures. I pray that we get to know the true meaning of the scriptures. Amen? We get to know them. Because you know what? Death, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, hallelujah. Lazarus, do you realize that Jesus, his intention was never to raise Lazarus? I want you to go back and look at it in scriptures. His intention was never to raise Lazarus, because he knew Jesus was walking, and he came over and Mary and Martha was crying out, and he said, don't worry, he's all right, he's sleeping. People couldn't understand that. Hey, don't be tripping. He's sleeping because I'm here. He said, no, Father, we know. He says, no, you're going to see him again. He says, okay. Yeah, we're going to see him in the resurrection. He says, no, I am the resurrection. I am. He says, no, we'll see him later. He says, I am the resurrection. And if you don't believe me, I could do it now or I could do it later. So everyone who has fallen asleep, my mom 2 years ago fell asleep, I will see her. God says, I'm going to do it later.
Yes.
Jesus said, okay, you don't believe me? Okay, let's do it now. Where is he? Lazarus! Truly amazing that Lazarus was bound from head to toe, but at the sound of Jesus, he got up from where he was. This is why he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And if you know that, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians. But Christ has indeed raised from the dead the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man, which is Christ. Amen? For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each to his turn. Christ is the first fruit. And then he who comes, those who belong to him. And verse 26 is the one that I want to get to. Verse 26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now I read that softly. I don't know. I get too excited sometimes. I'm standing, I'm a walking miracle. I told Pastor Brian that there's so many medical things wrong with me. Every 2 months I go for my checkup and they look at me and they wonder what's going on. I remember when I said to them, the Spirit of God is in me. They must have sent me to every psychological individual, every psychiatrist, because they say he's gone off. I say, ain't nothing but the blood of Jesus. Ain't nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's no coincidence. They said to me that the white matter in your brain is deteriorating, but God has quickened my brain in the name of Jesus. And this is the reason why I hold on to verse 26. He says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Amen.
Now, you didn't get it, because if you got it, you would have been shouting. He says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Amen. So it tells me that where I am, I'm going to destroy everything.
Come on. Amen.
So my brokenness is destroyed. Amen? Hallelujah. The kids who are running wild, that's taken care of. Oh, hallelujah. When stuff is not going right in your household, you call on the name of Jesus and it's all taken care of, because the scripture says the last enemy that you will destroy, which means that you have destroyed everything. God has done it for you. He'll do it again. He'll do it now. He did it yesterday. He is the same. He has done it. He will continue to do it. It's all said and done. So the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Amen.
And guess what? The Lamb of God took care of that.
Amen.
And if you believe it, stand to your feet and shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Death, where is your sting? The grave, where is your victory?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are there any believers who are alive today?
Yes.
Death is conquered.
Yes.
The grave is no more.
Yes.
We praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that word that has just spoken to our spirit.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, that the word that my brother has spoken will come to life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come to life in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, as this word is circulating, I come against every spirit, every demonic spirit in this place. I come against in Jesus' name, because you're defeated. I come against sickness in the name of Jesus. You're defeated. I come against even death today. You are defeated. I come against everything that stands against the children of God. You are defeated. Everything that faces you, that come against you, is defeated today. Your sickness is defeated. You have been made whole by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, my brother, for that inspiring sermon, the teaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just to let you know, we're going to take up...